You know, it's the second week of Advent, and the second week of Advent has as its theme this year, peace. And before I get into the message, I did forget to thank one person in particular. Did you know that that play was written by Brenda's son, Ben? So, yeah, and I forgot to mention that. So, Ben, I'm very confident that you're watching right now. So thank you, Ben, for writing that for us. Appreciate it very much. What if I told you that right now in the world, there are 185 conflicts, more than there has been in the last three decades? That's a surprising statistic. Because, you know, I know the two primary wars going on right now that we're all focused on. But I think all of us would agree, if there's a need for peace, it is now. That peace is such a difficult prospect for humanity. That this whole idea of peace is so needed in our world, in our culture, in our society. And in fact, can I argue that peace is desperately needed in our own hearts, in our own lives? I've joked many times that as a pastor, if I had a nickel for every person that just said, I wish I had a bit of peace in my life, that I would be on a Greek island right now. I was expecting an amen. But peace is so fleeting in our culture, in our society. And in fact, if you were to ask people what is the definition of peace, everybody's going to have a different definition. And it's going to be based on their own personal need of what peace looks like. Okay? But peace is a big part of the Bible's narrative. Peace is one of the most prominent themes in the Bible. In fact, Jesus' entire life is bracketed by the theme of peace. The angels announced peace at his birth. Jesus, in his resurrected state, would say, peace I bring you. It's the theme of his entire life. And, you know, the Burkholders read a passage that I want to look at again, because it has some very interesting truths about peace that I think we need to illustrate today. And I think it's a definition, I think it's a focal point of peace that many people in our culture do not have today, and yet is desperately, desperately needed. Because I think without this component, we are always going to struggle with peace in one way or another. So let me read the passage again. We're going to put it up on the screen here for you. And this is Simeon who is at the temple when Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to be dedicated to at the temple. And Simeon is there, and he gets to see the Christ child, and he gets to participate in the dedication. And as part of that dedication, he makes this proclamation, this beautiful proclamation. And this is what he says. He says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Now notice what Simeon does not say when he sees the child, okay? He doesn't say, now Israel's going to be freed from the bondage of the Roman Empire that has us under slavery to them and the whole political system. He doesn't say all the social injustices are just going to be disappear right away. He doesn't say suddenly, you know, the climate problem's going to be gone. He doesn't say every political movement is now going to be an abstraction of what Jesus brings to the world. He doesn't say every problem is now going to be solved. I don't know about you, but there's a bit of a theological wordplay that is happening in this passage. And if you're anything like me, you start to realize that as you live your life, you are giving more than life is giving back to you. Life is all about working it out. Isn't that true? Every relationship, what do you hear about a relationship? Oh, you got to work at it. Okay. How many of you have a job where you do absolutely nothing, you get paid for it? You got to work for it, right? Life can very much be this constant pull towards give and give and give and give. How many people have you heard say, life is not easy? You have to work for the good things in life. In fact, life can feel like it's leaving us empty, kind of pulling us apart, fragmenting us, putting us into pieces. We might be okay in one area of our lives, but an absolute disaster in another area. How many of us know really well-known business people, famous people, who their career is stellar, but their personal life is a train wreck, right? We all feel that kind of segmentation and fragmentation in our lives. But you know what's really interesting? When you look at the text or the way the Bible illustrates the word peace and the word salvation, what it's talking about is that whatever emptiness, whatever fragmentation you feel, peace and salvation will make you whole again. That you'll feel complete again. That's why Simeon can say, I can now die in peace because I'm whole again. That this one part of my life that was missing, that just seemed to just not allow the pieces to fit together really well, is the one piece that now is in place, and now peace is fully allowed to be experienced in my life. That's the interesting thing about the biblical definition of peace. Both in the Greek and both in the Hebrew, it means the sense of wholeness. It means the sense of being put together to finally be complete. That whatever fragmentation, whatever emptiness we're feeling in our lives, the peace that passes all understanding, as the Apostle Paul says, fills us with a sense of wholeness again. That we're never fragmented ever again. Salvation also means a sense of coming to faith so that you are whole again, that you are one person again, that you're not multiple personalities, depending on where it is that you live, work, whatever. And this piece of in salvation is this beautiful picture of becoming whole again. Listen, I have this deep belief, and you might disagree or agree with me, but I think at the heart of all violence, at the heart of all hatred, at the heart of anger, at the heart of all those dark emotions that we experience is really nothing more than a sense of unrest that we personally have within our own souls. And that is what fuels things like hatred. That's what fuels things like violence. That's what fuels anger, essentially. And what this beautiful picture that is being painted by Simeon is that this peace can do something to our souls that nothing else in this world can touch. It's a beautiful picture. Because when we talk about salvation, you know, we talk about salvation bringing forgiveness. Imagine how that washes you and makes you whole again. It talks about reconciliation, the relationships that are broken that now can be healed, especially the relationship between us and God. That's a sense of wholeness again. We become a new creation. You know, no matter what our you know, interior narrative is about ourselves. God says, you are a new person. You are now a child of mine, that you are blessed, that you are made in my image, that you know, I want to bless you and give you the very best for you. You are now a whole person again. We're given the Spirit of God. This concept of wholeness and completeness that ultimately gives us a sense of peace. That's the beautiful thing that this story brings out. And in fact, here are the two of the points I want to bring up for us right now, is that we experience peace when the presence and the promises of God are greater than the weight of our circumstances. That's where real peace comes in, where it doesn't always change our circumstances. We often think that peace only happens when the circumstances are changed or when God comes in and does something miraculous. But more often than not, God does something to your heart, to your soul. The circumstances aren't necessarily changed, but your whole attitude, viewpoint, perspective to those circumstances dramatically change. And when we look at this passage, of course, the peace that we're searching for is only found in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give you peace. Jesus came to make us whole again, to make us one again. That as life tries to tear us apart and every difficulty that comes into our lives continues to hurt us, fragment us, do all these things where I give and I give and I give and suddenly it doesn't feel like there's much coming back. Jesus comes along and says, guess what? I can make you whole again. I can make you complete again. And you have everything that you need in order to work through the circumstances of life that you find so hard. And I truly believe that when we come to embrace peace like that, the world's going to be a far better place. Far better place. Because I don't know about you, it grieves me that in 2023 and the closing out of this year and look forward to the next year, the things in the world don't appear to be getting better, don't appear to be getting more peaceful. In fact, things look like they're getting more dangerous, more conflict-oriented, more hatred. Jesus did not come to divide the world so that we're at war with each other. He came to bring peace, a peace that is so central to who he has made us to be. And that's what's going to make the difference in the world, is that kind of peace. Simeon realized that true peace was found in a person. So my hope and my prayer for you today is that this Christmas, you are going to find the peace of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. You know, as I close out, you know, I've got some time, but I am going to end early and call our worship team to sing this last song. I'm guilty of watching a few really bad Christmas movies this year. Okay? I'm admitting this. Please don't. No, can you shut the video off? No. But you know what's really bothered me this year? I was going to keep this a secret, but of the really bad Christmas movies that I've watched, they have openly been antagonistic to Christianity. That really shocked me. You know, you can have your cheesy Christmas movies and it's all about this and, you know, all about that. And okay, you know, that's That's the way of the world. But I was shocked at the comments that were made that were intentionally meant to ridicule Christians and Jesus at Christmas. I was shocked, absolutely shocked. And it's heartbreaking because peace is not going to be found through singing and talking about the weather. Okay, which is what a lot of Christmas stuff secularly talks about, right? It's about insignificant things, lights, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And so many are missing the source of true peace that we all so desperately, desperately need. All right? So if you're caught with the Christmas movie this year, I warned you. I warned you. All right? I'm going to now pray as our worship team prepares us for our last song. But I want to pray for you this morning. And again, I want to thank you for being here. It's been such a blessing. And I know the kids were really overwhelmed by the response this morning. And for those of you that traveled away, God bless you for doing that today. That was such a blessing for us as a church as well. So Father, thank you for the message of peace this morning. Such a difficult reality. And yet we know that biblically the Prince of Peace has come. The one that can calm our hearts, that can fulfill us, that can make us whole again and complete. And Father, what a change it would be for this world if we embraced the Prince of Peace and acknowledged him as someone that is so desperately needed in our culture and our society, as things continue to just spiral out of control and so many disconcerting things happening around the world. Lord, I pray for the invasion of your Spirit in such a way that eyes will be open, but more so, hearts will be open to the message of Jesus Christ this Christmas, and that the true peace that people seek and long for will be found because it is only found in him. And we thank you. In his name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.